The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Big Sean, the Superhero Dad. After a long break, Sean is ready to return to rap and explore other creative pursuits, including making a film with his homies, James Gunn and The Rock. On a Thursday evening in March, I start my conversation with Big Sean by discussing something he's extremely passionate about, rap. We'll talk about that in a bit. His infant son in a bit too. So what is it? Anime? Specifically Dragon Ball Z and the many other series attached to it, all created by Akira, who passed away in March. Akira holds a special place in Sean's heart, so much so that he says his life would probably be completely different if Akira's beloved Dragon Ball franchise didn't exist. The thing I like about Dragon Ball Z is how the characters push past the limits and defeat unimaginable odds, Sean says. I appreciate him for making characters that motivated me so much in so many different ways. Not just Goku, but also Piccolo, Vegeta. Even with Dragon Ball, just all of those characters, man. Sean has pushed through multiple iterations of himself to become the man he is today, both professionally and personally. He's a father of Detroit rap, adding his own legacy to the city's already rich rap history and championing contemporary stars like 42 Doug, Cash Kid, Cash Doll, T Grizzly, and Sada Baby. He's also a literal father. He and his partner had their first child, a baby boy named Noah, in November 2022. Being a father has understandably taken precedence for Sean. When he is not introducing the two-year-old to anime shows like Demon Slayer, Dragon Ball Super, and Naruto, though what the toddler loves most is Yo Gabba Gabba and YouTuber Miss Rachel. He is watching Noah take in the world and enjoy its simple pleasures. One of the biggest lessons of fatherhood that I love is just enjoying the simple things, Sean says. I feel like I kind of lost touch with that before having my son. And what I mean by that is, if I'm walking with him outside, just looking at the sky, looking at a plant, he'll want to reach out for a flower. And then I admire the flower too. And I appreciate him because even though he's my son, it's like he's teaching me. He pauses for a beat as if fondly remembering the moment, then adds, so that's one of the things I really appreciate, slowing down and focusing solely on Noah, because you can't do anything else but focus on him. Of course, there are the inevitable challenges that come with having a child, such as finding a balance between being present for him and pursuing other passions. Although Sean's last full-length project was 2020's Detroit 2, he's dropped new music since, both solo material and features. The latter has been particularly notable with Sean rapping over a beat from legendary producer The Alchemist, courtesy of Palisades, California, a track from The Great Escape, The Alchemist and Larry June's collaborative album from last year. But it's an appearance on Bryson Tiller's Get This Money from his Slum Tiller Volume 3 EP, released in January, that has piqued fans' interest. The song is Sean's take on seminal Detroit rap group Slum Village's track of the same name, produced by one of Detroit's most revered beatmakers, the late Jay Dilla. Sean hasn't rapped over a Dilla beat since 2012, when he shared a freestyle of himself rapping over the pioneering producer's Two Can Win. The song was from 2006 Donuts, the last album Dilla made before he passed away. Now Sean has rapped on Get This Money and the Pharisees Drop, also produced by Dilla. Having released a freestyle of himself on a slowed instrumental of the latter in March, there was also supposed to be an unreleased Dilla beat on Detroit 2, but that didn't happen, which is unfortunate, considering that Sean initially envisioned having a certain fellow Detroit rapper on the track, Eminem. It reminded me of an old Eminem, and when I sent it to him, he was like, "Man, I like the Dilla beat for sure. I get it," Sean recalls, but M preferred the beat for the song that ended up being Detroit Rap Posse cut Friday Night Cypher. Still, with the references to Dilla ahead of Sean's expected release of a new album this year, I ask if fans can finally hope to hear him grace a beat from the beloved producer on an official solo project. As of now, there is me rapping on Jay Dilla beats that I have recorded, but I don't know if it's on the album or not, he says coyly. However, what he can share about the new album is that it's just me having fun and expressing myself. The only thing I'm going for is just authenticity, he says. I don't like putting too much pressure on an album anymore. I just want to get my art off, do my thing. Even though he's looking toward the future in his music career, Sean's also been reveling in his past accomplishments. In January, he released a new song titled Freshman 10 Freestyle, on which he reflects on the 2010 XXL freshman class cover that included him, J. Cole, J. Rock, Freddie Gibbs, and the late Nipsey Hussle, and others. Nowadays, rap fans affectionately refer to the era these rappers came up in as the blog era, a period of time from the late 2000s to the early 2010s, when rap blogs and mixtape distribution platforms helped propel artists to success. This was the case for Sean, whose 2012 Detroit mixtape caused Dat Piff, a popular mixtape website at the time, to crash upon its release. "It was incredible, man," he says of the moment. "We were working hard every night in the studio. I would work until this pancake place that I really liked going to would open up. It would open up at 7:30 in the morning. So I would work all day and all night and in the morning until that place opened. Go there, eat, catch some sleep, wake up, and just get back to it. It's amazing to see it pay off." And as for his favorites from the blog era, he mentions Lil Wayne's The Dedication and Wiz Khalifa's Cabin Fever and Kush and Orange Juice, to name a few. "To me, Wiz Khalifa dominated the mixtape era," Sean says. "That's some of the best product right there. That Kush and Orange and Cabin Fever, along with Dedication by Wayne." With our interview coming to a close, I ask Sean about his dream acting role. He made his live action acting debut in 2021 in Lena Waithe's BET comedy drama series, 20s, and served as the titular character for an animated movie, Trouble, that was released that same year on Netflix with his best friend, Lawrence Lamont. He says that he wants to work with Lamont, Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn, and actor and former wrestler Dwayne The Rock Johnson, both of whom Sean refers to as his homies, on a movie in which he portrays a superhero. I know that when it comes to acting and just anything I do, I want to really concentrate and focus on it, he says. So when that time comes, if it's right, then it's right. The next article is titled The Triumphs of 85 South. Through hilarious content and a wealth of talent, this Black-owned media company has inspired a generation with its success story. The 85 South Show is more than a weekly series consisting of renowned comedians DC Young Fly, Carlos Miller, and Chico Bean, plus entrepreneurs Chad Joseph Newman and Lance Catdog Creighton. This collective has transcended both the audio and visual landscapes, amassing more than 2.5 million YouTube subscribers and captivating viewers with side-splittingly humorous content. For many, the group's media takeover may seem unexpected, but the company's founders planned its growth from the start. What began as a podcast in 2015 went on to become an empire. The initial idea originated on one of MTV's longest-running programs, Wild and Out, with the three comedians developing a unique and exciting chemistry that Carlos believed could be turned into a history-making union. Carlos, I would say, is an elder statesman in the comedy game, Chico says. He had already kind of gone through the trenches. He had the foresight and the vision to know that as great an opportunity as Wild and Out was and is for all of us, it still was a springboard, not a landing spot. It's a springboard for you to be able to use that major platform to make something of your own. Building on the show's critical and commercial accomplishments, the group's members embarked on an epic tour, and they established 85 South Media, a dynamic hub that not only hosts their flagship podcast with frequent collaborator Clayton English, but also fosters emerging artists through shows like Poor Minds, comedian Nav Green's Broken Play, The Perspective Podcast, and New Jack Thriller City. We try to accentuate these talents and then build professionalism in the presentation around them. By allowing participants to create freely, the group makes room for construction of the best possible product. When you have certain talents that are great at the things they do, you don't want to compromise their integrity nor their comedic genius, says Creighton. The architects of this enterprise also had the foresight to start an independent streaming and distribution network called Channel 85. They constructed the digital service to build financial stability for the company and for the people helping to advance its mission, bringing their brand to an even higher level. The team scored a stand-up special, 85 South Ghetto Legends, which debuted as a Netflix number one hit. While the podcast was what gave 85 South national visibility, it was their electrifying live performances that took them to the stratosphere. Independently, DC, Carlos, and Chico have all excelled as entertainers, but when they come together, audiences experience a truly extraordinary partnership. We all know who we are, Carlos says, we know that DC got a crowd, Chico got a crowd, and I got a crowd. But if we put all this together, it's like forming Voltron. We all recognize each other's strengths. We all cater to each other's weaknesses, and we don't ever collide because we are three different individuals who understand that anybody can walk away at any moment. During their live shows, the trio delivers a masterclass on improvisational comedy through crowd work and conversation. Their productions appear seamless to onlookers, yet none of it is rehearsed. That's the beauty of what we do, Chico explains. Sometimes when we would do shows, we would not see each other until right before we walked on stage. But we have built a natural, organic energy that people know is genuine. As much as the group has dismantled stages across the country, there's nothing like catching their set in Atlanta, the nucleus of the entire 85 South operation and a city that is a catalyst in Black culture. I'm a believer that Atlanta is the leader of the South, and I believe that the South is really the leader of everything else, says Audbury. We collectively built this here in Atlanta, where it wasn't hard for us to be supportive. Outside of the city's influence, the primary reason for 85 South rise is the group's willingness to collaborate. It takes all of us individually to come together to get the most bang for our buck in any type of business, Newman reflects. Although the journey for this media group had already been exceptional, there's still plenty of ground to cover. The 85 South brand's studio space, merchandise, and streaming service show its expansion plans and testify to the group's ambition. Its members also revealed that they'll be launching a management company in the near future. Their goal is to develop a business that hires creatives and opens avenues for the BIPOC community to succeed. The 85 South group has inspired its visionaries to reach for new heights and to treat the word no as a stepping stone rather than a roadblock. It's why their presence continues to motivate millions, even if indirectly. It's good to be able to represent and show people of our skin color or who look the way we look that we can make it, DC says. There's no certain look required to succeed. It's all about your mentality and how far you want to go with it. The next article is titled Russell Wilson, Faith, Family, and Football. The NFL champ riffs on his influential career, Black love, and the belief system at the center of it all. Throughout his storied tenure in the NFL, Russell Wilson has achieved unimaginable success on the gridiron. With a dynamic skill set and unique leadership qualities, he has established himself as a preeminent figure, not only in football, but also in entrepreneurship, philanthropy, and entertainment. By refusing to let conventional restrictions box him in, Wilson has helped to break the mold of what the modern sports star can be. In the process, he's blazed a new trail for Black athletes for generations to come. Born in Cincinnati and raised in Richmond, Wilson was an active child playing basketball, football, and baseball. I've loved sports my whole life, the 35-year-old says. The love came from my dad and my brother and from playing against them. He excelled in high school athletics and was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles professional baseball team, but decided to further his education by enrolling for college at North Carolina State University. There he excelled in football and baseball before transferring to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. With his talent, Wilson had options when it came to sports, but it was guided guidance from a higher power that inspired him to focus on football. I think the decision was just God's perfect timing for me, Wilson explains. In focusing solely on football, he was able to sharpen his proneness as a passer, which led him to a stellar senior year at Wisconsin. He drove the Badgers to a record of 11-3 and a Big Ten championship. In 2012, he declared for the NFL draft, ultimately going to Seattle Seahawks as a third-round pick. Although Wilson showed promise while playing Division I athletics, it was in the following years that the world would fully recognize the vastness of his potential. During his career with the Seahawks, Wilson earned 9 Pro Bowl selections, had several record-breaking seasons, and achieved a victory in Super Bowl. In 2019, he dazzled audiences with a series of game-breaking passes and an uncanny ability to improve outside of the pocket, compelling the public to create the phrase, "Let Russ Cook." In the 9 years he spent behind center in Seattle, Wilson emerged as one of the best players in football. More importantly, his ascendancy served as a reminder that black quarterbacks possesses more than physical attributes, countering a narrative that has been pushed by scouts, coaches, executives, and media since the league's inception over a century ago. Before Wilson burst onto the scene, single callers of color like Doug Williams, Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham, and Michael Vick all dominated the field at one point, a fact that Wilson recognizes and respects. "I think about those guys before me," he says, "but when I came into the league, there were only a few of us. It was Cam Newton, Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick, myself, and a couple others." By the end of his second year in the NFL, Wilson held up the Lombardi Trophy, becoming just the second black quarterback to do so. While the win became an unforgettable personal accomplishment, it also marked a shift in the perception of black men in his position. "For me to be able to go back to back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think opened up a lot of doors," he says. "Now you see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come." The emergence of quarterbacks like Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and CJ Stroud, to name a few, is indicative of a new era in football and a glimpse into what the sport is trending toward. "What I love to see is guys getting drafted early, and that a lot of teams these days have black quarterbacks playing for them," Wilson says. "It's all across the league, and it's showing how the National Football League is starting to evolve, change, and break down barriers. I think one of the biggest blessings of my career so far is that I've been fortunate to be able to open up doors for others because of what others did for me." This off season, the future Hall of Famer signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers following a brief complicated stint with the Denver Broncos to play under Mike Tomlin, the team's trailblazing black coach. In what marks a new beginning for Wilson's life and career, he remains steadfast for the journey ahead and thankful for all he's attained thus far. "To play 13 years in the NFL has been a dream come true," he says, adding that to be able to play for Mike Tomlin, to stand side by side with him and try to accomplish all the goals that I want to accomplish with the Steelers organization and what that represents for the NFL is one of the greatest gifts in the world. In addition to his brilliance on the field, Wilson has been a genuine star off of it. Through his philanthropic efforts and community service, he is improving quality of life for the less fortunate and the disenfranchised. His unwavering commitment is something that was instilled in him early by his parents. My mom and my dad, I got to see them both give back in many ways, he recalls. My dad was a lawyer. He helped so many people. My mom was a nurse, and she had the heart of servitude, like in John 13:14, where Jesus says, "If I, your Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash the others." And I just firmly believe that it's God's gift. To whom much is given, much is required, for us to be able to give back and serve. Following his father's passing in 2010, Wilson established the Why Not You Foundation, a nonprofit organization that aims to empower today's youth, and his efforts have garnered him philanthropic honors, including Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year in 2021 and the Bart Starr Award in 2022. His humanitarian spirit extends to his companies, including the men's apparel and footwear line Good Man Brand, his business coaching firm Limitless Minds, the Russell Wilson Quarterback Academy, and many more. Wilson also formed Why Not You Productions with his wife, singer Sierra, in hopes of creating stories that will uplift and entertain viewers. As ambitious as Wilson has been, family is the pillar in everything he does. His relationship with Sierra, to whom he'd been married since 2016, is an inspiration to those who celebrate Black love. The key to their success, he says, is prayer. When I asked her to marry me, once she said yes, I said, "Before we do this, can we pray? I want to make sure we always put God at the center of it all," he recalls. "And so I think the thing that hopefully exudes from our love is that, listen, love is never perfect, but we continue to try to put God first and pray over each other. We have these four beautiful children that we get to raise every day, and it's the greatest gift in the world." Wilson's faith has been his foundation, seeing him through victories, trials, and everything in between. It has allowed him to be the man he is and also aspire to be better with each passing day. "I think it keeps you grounded," he says, of his belief system. "It keeps you connected to who God is and what he's already done and what he's about to do for you. It's knowing there's always a bigger purpose in life that's really important. It inspires me to be the best version of me so I can inspire somebody else." The next article is titled, "A Black American Dream Deferred. The steps to achieving home ownership involve so many systemic hurdles for Black buyers that it's nearly impossible for many to cross the finish line." Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avril Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.